And our thoughts and prayers are with his family. I will read you one of the most elegantly written notes about his death from Meghan McCain, and then we'll get on with Money Matters here this morning. My father, and again, this is from Meghan McCain on this morning. My father is gone, and I miss him as only an enduring daughter can, but in his loss and in his sorrow, I take comfort in this. John McCain, hero of the Republic and to his little girl, wakes today to something more glorious than anything on this earth. Today, the warrior enters his true and eternal life, greeted by those who have gone before him, rising to meet the author of all things. The dream has ended. This is the morning. And that's from Meghan McCain. I love you forever, my beloved father. Really powerful what she wrote. I hope to be a good dad, like John McCain, as I exit this morning yelling at my children for being lazy and addicted to technology. You guys are lazy, and you get up early on a Saturday and a Sunday morning, not for sports, not to go do homework, not to do anything productive except to go play video games. The most frustrating thing on the planet. I bet you John McCain didn't play video games. He played real war games is what he did. Something that I told my children that one day I would be proud for them to do. Anyway, good morning. I'm just another dad in America trying to get my kids not to be lazy, addicted to technology, children to be productive in society. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters on a heavy open, but let's switch to a couple of other things. One, we had talk this week about the president getting impeached. The president himself even talked about getting impeached and then what that would do to the stock market. Do you think we cannot cover that here on Money Matters? No, that's not going to happen. We've been talking about this for the last couple of years. I did a show in April that went over the betting odds of the Trump impeachment during his first term. Of course, those betting odds or the chances have gone up if you look at those betting odds. And I would be remiss if I didn't cover that topic and understand what would happen if this market had saw a sitting president impeached. It's happened twice before. What would happen in this case? So let's go back and look at what happened the last time there was impeachment proceedings. What did the stock market do? Because actually there's a lot of similarity between the stock market then under Clinton. The economy was similar. It was strong, just like it is here today. What would that do to the market? So today we have to explore the possibility of... Well, I'm not even going to say the possibility because there's always a possibility, the probability. You can see betting odds at predictit.com, which is a betting website where you can wager real capital above all if you believe some political outcome is about to happen. And there's a lot of layers to this story, and that's why I think it's so fascinating to talk about here on Money Matters this morning. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. As we get deep into the summer, I'm eyeing fall here soon. I'm eyeing football soon. Next Sunday, we're actually going down to 1 hour for several weeks because of Bulldog Brunch here on Money Matters. So we've got a lot to talk about here today. No, number one, just as I got a lot of feedback last week. Some great, some I don't know, mostly great. I'm sure people hated it though in some respect. So there was plenty of people that saying, "What were you doing, Wes?" And we talked about apples. Because Bloomberg must be listening to apples. You thought I was crazy last week about talking about the apple industry. Apples as in the fruit. We talked about both, by the way. But just this past Friday, Bloomberg, the mighty financial news network, Bloomberg just posted an article about the remarkable shift within the apple industry. And that after 50 years, the reign of what I call the red undelicious has just lost its top spot after 50 years too. The Gala and soon to be Honeycrisp, Pink Crisp, and we're done talking about Apple. So good morning. There's a lot. Here are kind of the main areas we want to talk about here on this show on this Sunday morning is that this week we just saw the stock market hit the longest bull market in history. And there's this great worry that because the bull market has lasted this long, well, it's got to die. Does a bull market die of old age? Wednesday, the bull market became the longest in history, running 3,453 days. If you start count when the S&P 500 hit that ominous low of 166, and that was March 9th, 2009. I think I remember that explicitly, that date. And I all of the large corrections that we've had over the last, call it 20 years. So the question is, does this bull market, is it long in the tooth? And do you need to be worried as an investor? Does it die? Because it's just old. It's just running too long. Number two, the impeachment odds of Trump. Even Trump himself commented on his own impeachment this week. Could it happen? How would it happen? And what would happen to your 401k if it happened? If we have time, and I don't think we're going to get here, at some point we need to be talking about just the fundamentals of asset allocation. Here we are at a stock market high. You don't want a portfolio that, unless you can take on an exorbitant amount of risk and you're highly risk tolerant, you don't care if your portfolio goes up and down by 20 and 30 and 40%, sure, you can own 100% stocks if you can handle that. But what's the secret to a smoother ride in your portfolio? And what's the secret shock absorber for your investment portfolio? Well, the answer is asset allocation. It's beyond diversification. And at some point here on Money Matters, we need to talk about that. And of course, your phone calls today. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. You're frustrated because the market's high. You can't seem to put cash to work. Maybe you have a question about that. Maybe you missed out on something and you're wondering, how do you get back in or how do you participate? Should you be buying silver, gold, or index annuities, or ETFs, or mutual funds, or just individual stocks, or maybe individual bonds? There was a great article this week in Barron's about baby bonds, corporate bonds that you could buy in $25 increments versus $1,000 increments that actually have slightly higher yields. Should you be converting your Roth IA? Should you take a lump sum offer that you've been contemplating from your company, or should you stick with the monthly payout for the rest of your life? How do you prepare for the next recession? That's a question. A stock market correction, that's a question. How much money can you use from your portfolio on a yearly basis without ever running out of money? 3%, 4%, 5%, 6%. And if so, which accounts do you have to use? So there's lots we'll answer here in an objective third-party manner. And we will get to the phones here. I want to talk about impeachment, though, first. The number in the next 2 hours, 1-800-WSB-TALK or 404-872-0750. The impeachment odds for Trump are growing. Have you biggest story, biggest market political story? My favorite stories are markets are really Washington, where Washington meets Wall Street, and it has been for the last couple of years now. This is right square in those crosshairs, and you heard this all week. Ever since Michael Cohen pleaded guilty, two of those accounts, two of the eight counts, were campaign finance violations, and of course he's pointing the finger directly at Trump. He's flipping on Trump. Of course, this is like the media fantasy that on steroids, the best thing that's ever happened to the media. Trump's people are going down. Trump is next. And of course, the conversation about impeachment, it's right back in the headlines. So much that even Trump commented on this week. Trump sat down with Ansley Earhart from Fox News, and they talked about it. He answered the question. He said, only in the Trump way, why would they ever impeach somebody that's doing a great job? Well, it's pretty logical. Why would that happen? Well, there's nobody that's on the fence with Trump. There's nobody that sits atop that small ridge at the top of the white picket fence in America. You are on one side of that fence or the other, not atop that sharp, uncomfortable ridge at the top of the picket fence in America. He commented on the market, and he said that the market would crash if he were to be impeached, and that people would end up, again, and only the Trump, only way Trump, that Trump could say, everyone would end up very poor. Again, media fantasy of all time happening this week on steroids because of the probability, the possibility of this event. Maybe it's going up, but there's a lot of layers to really understand this, and that's exactly what today is about, so that you can really understand what's behind this talk of impeachment and what will happen to the stock market if that were to happen. A lot of different scenarios to understand. So first, what happened? So here are the questions I want to answer for you. And when I come into Money Matters on a Sunday morning, I want to answer. In my mind, I try to figure out what is the number one thing as an investor you are just that's popped into your head that you're just worried about. You want the answer to. Hey, okay, if Trump gets impeached, what's the probability of that? And then what would happen to the market? So what happens to markets if the president, in this case Trump, president in history or historically as well, what happened when they were impeached and what would happen if he were to be impeached? Can the Democrats take over Congress? That's the bigger crux of the question, because that needs to happen in order for there to even be a conversation about Trump being impeached. Well, the odds of that have been rising, at least on predicted and the generic ballot, which is also a good predictive way to look at what will happen during the midterm elections. And then if the Dems take the House, how would impeachment actually work? Would that mean the removal of Trump or not? And then what it all means if you look at it or zoom out and look at the big picture, that's what we're talking about right here on Money Matters. So stay tuned. There's a lot to get through. If you're driving to work you could be working on Sunday. I am. Good morning. Church, golf, brunch. Welcome to Money Matters. Stay tuned. A lot to talk about here. Right here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll cover breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts throughout the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
What happens to markets if President Trump is impeached? All right, so no question. And again, if you're just tuning in, even President Trump himself answered the question this week in an interview in Fox News. Hey, what would happen if you got impeached? He said the market would crash. Everyone would be very poor. I think to some extent that's, of course, Trump hyperbole, but of course the market would go down. I think no question it's a negative event. Trump says markets will crash. A crash could be 10%, depending on how quickly it happened. 20%, 30% is a real crash to some extent. But it all depends on how the time and how it plays out. If you have a 10% move over 2 weeks, that's kind of a crash. 30% would be a full-on bear market, but that just doesn't happen overnight. And I think that a 20 or even a 30% downdraft because of an event like this, I think that's a stretch. I think we'd see market correction. I'd see 5, maybe 10%. But it's not. There's not enough meat to that. And I'm going to explain why as we go through the next hour here. I'll explain why I don't think it gets there. But here's what happened during the Bill Clinton impeachment or that period of time. Similar economy to where we are today, similar strong or solid stock market. During the Clinton era, if you look at examples here, if you go back to 1998, and this is the beginning of the year, January 1998, Kenneth Starr opened a grand jury probe into the whole Lewinsky scenario. He was on NBC. He was on the Today Show on NBC and started to talk about, or Hillary Clinton talked about the controversy, how it had been fabricated by vast right-wing conspiracy theorists. And then the market rallied. And then it rallied until the summer of 1998. And then things started to go awry. And we're going to talk about that history of what happened during the last whiff of impeachment as Money Matters continues right here on a Sunday morning. So stay tuned. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, go to Wes Moss, WESMOSS.com. Email button at the top right-hand corner of those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. Stay tuned. More about Trump and the possibility of impeachment. What does it do to the market right here? News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Heavy topics today here on the show. What happens to markets if the president, in this case, President Trump, is impeached? And we're going back into history and we're seeing what happened really tick by tick of what happened during the Clinton impeachment and then what that did to the stock market. Because I think that this market is a lot like the market back then. Strong equity markets through the 90s, strong equity markets through 15, 16, 17 here and quite frankly, 2018 in the United States. And we So we have a similar scenario economically. We have a similar scenario when it comes to markets. And we've got this political storm, if you will, that will continue to, I mean, headlines all over. Trump's Terrible Tuesday is the headline that you'll see over and over again this week. Remember, we have to talk about, is there a possibility that the Democrats take over Congress? Because we all know that right now, before we get to the midterm elections, the GOP has a majority and the Democrats need to pick up 23 seats in order for the Democrats to have a majority. And remember, it takes a majority vote to impeach the president. And that's the first step, though. We're going to talk about that process here in just a minute, but let's see what happened back when Clinton, or during that process of the, hey, will he be impeached or not? And what did it do to the stock market? Well, again, it kind of all started in the beginning of 1998, the Kenneth Starr report. Hillary, of course, went on the Today Show and said, oh, this is just a conspiracy. And the market did pretty well in the beginning of that year, January 1998 until the summer of 98. And then during the summer of 98, 20 years ago, markets sold off, started to sell off. And it wasn't just because of it really wasn't the Ken Starr report. It was the long-term capital management crisis, the hedge fund that imploded, the currency hedge fund that imploded, and the Russian currency crisis, really, that happened and kind of sent stocks and currencies reeling all around the world. Then in September of 1998, Starr sent his report on the possibility of impeachable offensives to Congress. So it was right at the end of the summer, early fall, that 20 years ago, that Starr said, hey, to Congress, these are impeachable offenses of the president. So that's when America started to say, wait a minute, this guy's going to maybe get impeached. From then until the House actually moved on the impeachment process, it was about a month, the market had a 10% negative stretch. And just think about this. Whenever there's this great deal of uncertainty, that's when markets do the worst. It's not necessarily the event. It's will he be? Will he not be? What happens if he is? Those are the questions that swirl around, and that's what really hits markets. And during that period of time, if you go back and look at a chart and you see exactly what happened during that period of time, the S&P 500 was down right at 10%. That's heavy, especially if only during one month period. That's a true correction. Then from that time, when they moved on this, until he was actually impeached, so when they actually, the House Judiciary Committee on December, took until December of 1998, took about 2 months, the market actually rallied during that period of time. Clinton was acquitted then by the Senate in February of 1999. The key that you don't hear about, and that's why I wanted to bring this up. And by the way, by that time, the market had rallied 25%, 25% up by the time he was acquitted in February, if you had looked at that long stretch of time. So a 10% correction, Trump says the market's going to crash and if he gets impeached and everyone's going to be poor. Not the case. Markets could fall. I think they could fall, call it a full 10%, maybe a little more than that, maybe a little less. Maybe even 15, but in the end, it would be more of a scrape rather than a let's call it a deep wound for markets. Now, here's where the history gets interesting relative to what's happening today. So first of all, again, we talked about how the Democrats need to take over control of Congress. Can they do that? The Democrats need 23 seats to take control, 23 seats. There are a ton of predictive analytics that will game this out. The website 538 has a tremendous amount of math behind this and algorithms and charts and graphs. And also my team in Washington, Strategus Research Partners, looks at the generic ballot indicator, which is has a really strong record of predicting how many seats either party loses during the midterm elections. And remember, one of the theses behind what happens this year in 2018 is that typically, the stock market doesn't do a lot or doesn't get out of its own way or has kind of a ceiling, if you will, until you get to the midterm elections because you have a lot of uncertainty around whether in a first-term president, very often Congress swings back the other way. we've seen it over and over and over again. And that's exactly why we've said here on Money Matters for a lot of this year, probably don't have a great market until you get the midterm elections out of the way. We've actually had a decent market, probably better than many expected. Now, the Dow's not up a ton. The Dow for the year is only up a little over 4%. 4%, not terrible. The S&P 500, though, where you've got, it's obviously a broader index, up about 7.5%. So can the Dems take the 23 seats they need, right? If you look at what Strategus Research says, that right now the GOP, it shows that the GOP will only lose 20 seats. 20, if you look at the generic ballot indicator. Just shy of the 23 needed for the Democrats. However, if you look at the special election results, even though only one Democrat has won out of the nine special elections we've seen so far, there's been a 15-point swing towards the Democratic favor. Let's call it a 15-point Democratic swing. And if you look and you game that out analytically or mathematically, that indicator will tell you that the Republicans could lose as many as 70 seats in the House. Now, I think that that's an outlandish stretch. Our research team kind of blends those two indicators together, and they say on the low end 20, on the high end 70, but likely 30 to 35 seats change over to the Democrats. 30 to 35 seats. I've also read that this blue wave, and this is just another, this is my political gut talking here, but you read about the blue wave, and I've read articles that it's not just a blue wave, it's bigger than that. It's a blue tsunami. It's picking up steam, and that the Democrats are going to see a huge turnout, and Republicans aren't going to go to the polls. Republicans are just going to stay home on election day. Isn't that what they said in the 2016 presidential election? That's what they said. Oh, Republicans aren't going to come out. Nah, nobody's motivated. I don't think so. I don't see that happen. But anyway, let's just be objective analytically. I could see 30 to 35 seats changing over. If you look at Predict It, which shows the betting odds of whether the House, the Democrats take over the House, it gives, this is where real money goes towards these political outcomes. You can bet money at Predict It is the website. It's a 65% probability of the Democrats winning the House. So it's pretty likely that that will happen. So that's the first step. If you're jumping up and down and you want Trump impeached, the first thing you got to have happen is Democrats have to take over the House. If the Democrats take over the House, how would impeachment work? And would that in itself mean removal of President Trump? Well, there's a lot of layers here too. So in terms of impeachment, per the Constitution, the House would have to move impeachment proceedings first. The House does it first, and they have the power to bring impeachment charges. In the House, in the case of the House, all you need is a majority vote. That's it. And that could happen, right? That's why it's so important to know if Democrats are going to take the House or not. So that could happen, but it still doesn't mean that Trump would leave office, because from the House, the impeachment measure would have to move to the Senate. Checks and balances, my friends. Second grade social studies. Then the Senate would have to create a trial. Effectively, they would put the president on trial. They'd investigate the allegations. Then they'd ultimately have to vote in a supermajority at that point. Two-thirds of 100 in order to find the president guilty. First of all, the Republicans only have around 9 seats that are up for re-election in the Senate. That's it. So there's almost no way for them to lose a majority in the Senate. It's just not even statistically, it's not impossible. Nothing's impossible, but that's just extraordinarily unlikely that that's even going to happen. Meaning that even if they did do that and get a slight majority, Democrats alone would still not have enough votes to get to 2/3. You got to get to 67 votes. You got to have the entire Senate turn on President Trump in order to have something in order for him to fully get convicted of something that has to do with high crimes and misdemeanors. Getting to 67 votes in the Senate would have to be based on something much, much more significant than what Michael Cohen has already talked about. Now, If there is something more about full Russian collusion, again, I don't see this happening at all, regardless of what Michael Cohen says. Again, politics are extraordinarily unpredictable, harder to game out probably than the stock market. But I just don't see it getting to that level enough to have enough Republicans in the Senate to actually turn on Trump. Bottom line here, a lot of ifs that have to happen. If the House turns from Republican to Democrat, that's the first if. And then if the House impeaches Trump, they vote to impeach him. And then if the Senate miraculously finds him guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors, and then if they throw him out, because remember, they can then decide what his punishment is. If the House says, if the Senate, once they have proceedings, they have to decide on what to do with him. So even if they say that he is guilty of something, it doesn't mean that they necessarily kick him out. But let's say all those ifs fell in line for the media fantasy that is to get Trump impeached. If they throw him out, the Senate says, yep, you're out, gone. What are we left with in the White House? Well, we're left with President Pence. And what do you think President Pence will do? Well, he won't roll back regulation and he won't roll back the tax cuts. That's not going to happen. And he won't roll back government defense spending. Not going to happen. And he's not going to be a whole lot different on trade. So if all these ifs magically, if were to be magically aligned, which I would put the chances at less than like probably far less than 10% that this would play out this way, we would end up with a very similar government that we have today, or a very similar government that we have right now. And that means that monetary policy, fiscal policy, regulatory policy will all stay a tailwind, not a headwind to the economy that we are seeing today, to the markets that we are seeing today. So this media fantasy cooks up the fact that the whole White House is about to fracture and fall apart, and that everyone's excited. Let's say that all the detractors that hate Trump are excited that he's going to get the temperature of the water will continue to rise to a boil. But even if that happens, you're left with President Pence at that point. And what you and I care about here on Money Matters is what happens to our 401ks. And ultimately, the policies that have been a tailwind to this economy at 4% plus GDP right now that we've talked about, tax cuts, we talked about corporate tax cuts, individual tax cuts. We've talked about the increase in government spending, the increase in defense spending, the repatriation of $1 trillion worth of cash from overseas, corporate cash back to the United States. Guess what? Those are significant tailwinds for this economy and the stock market, and that's not going away no matter what happens. Good morning. You're listening to Money Matters. Stay tuned. More Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Straight ahead.
Depend on it. We'll be back Monday morning, 4:30 tonight for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. What happens to the President Trump if the President, or in this case, President Trump gets impeached? He says the market's going to crash. I think it goes down 5 to 10%. I don't know. It doesn't seem as though it'd be a calamity, because if you line up all the ifs, if the House turns from Republican to Democrat, and if the House then impeaches Trump, and then if the Senate miraculously finds him guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors, and if they throw him out, what are we left with? We're left with President Pence. And President Pence is not going to roll back regulation. He's not going to roll back tax cuts. He's not going to roll back government defense spending. He's not going to really change on trade. And we've already made a lot of progress on trade. If everything aligns here, we still end up with a similar government tailwind to many of the policies that have helped get this market from a 1.9% growth rate to a economy from a 1.9% growth rate to a 4% growth rate. Now, does that 4% rate continue forever? No. But we have the opportunity to have it continue for a while. And 3%, 3.5% is sustainable until the Fed overly ratchets interest rates too high, too far too high. And right now they seem as though, even though there was testimony this week that they're going to probably raise rates in September, they're still at a relatively accommodative state historically. Interest rates are still pretty low. So with that, we've got to talk about the oldest bull market in the history of America that just hit on Wednesday of this week. We're going to talk about that in the 10 o'clock hour and then take your phone calls and your questions here on Money Matters. Stay tuned right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.